God is good. We're in a series called Better Together. And today we're going to be looking at one of those one another passages. And today we're going to look at encourage one another. Our scripture comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. And since it's just one verse, I'm going to ask you to read it in unison with me today. Let's all read it out loud together. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon this place. And that God, that everyone in this room today, everyone that may be watching on the live stream, may be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that not only will we be encouraged personally, but God, each one of us will be challenged to become an encourager. Speak to us, God, through your word. We make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Billionaire Oprah Winfrey has a personal trainer. His name's Bob Green. Bob Green instructs, educates, and motivates Oprah about her eating, her diet, her fitness, her workout. But the main thing that he works with Oprah about is her thinking. It's what he calls self-talk. Now, all of you talk to yourself, right? I know you do. And as a matter of fact, every once in a while, you may catch me talking to myself. And if you do, I'll probably say like, oh yeah, I was talking to myself. I do that to guarantee an intelligent conversation between two people. But we all have self-talk, and many times it's the self-talk, that talk that we talk to ourselves on the inside of our head that nobody else hears, is where the battle is won in our life. And it's just not in the area of fitness or health or your weight, but it's on every aspect of our life. Now, I don't know any billionaires, and you don't have to be a billionaire to have the best personal trainer in the universe. All you have to do is to be a believer in Jesus Christ, and He sends the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you to be your personal encourager. And so today we're going to look at and think about encouragement and discouragement. Let's begin by defining what we mean by discouraged. Webster says, discouraged means to lose courage, or to lose hope, or to lose confidence, or to lose enthusiasm. Now let's just pause and I want to ask you a question. Is there an area of your life that you have lost confidence? Is there an area of your life that you have lost enthusiasm? Is there an area of your life where you have lost hope? That area may be in the area of your job. You may not be enthusiastic about going to work tomorrow. It may be in the area of your marriage. You may have lost confidence that you are going to have a blessed forever life. It may be as a parent, you have lost confidence that you're going to be able to raise that child in a way that's going to bless them and honor God. Is there some area of your life that you're discouraged? Well, God's got a word. Of hope for you today. What is encouragement? Well, encouragement is a compound word in the Greek New Testament, parakaleo, and it means to come alongside of and to call out to. Para means come alongside, like parallel lines, you know, like in a railroad track, they're parallel to each other. And kaleo means to call out. And so encouragement is when somebody walks beside of you and calls out to you to encourage you in the walk of life. Now, the word encourage, or the word parakaleo in the New Testament, appears 109 times. But it's translated at least 10 different words in English. And I want you to see those 10 words to see how big this scope of encouragement is. And so, parakaleo is translated comfort, begged, urged, plead, invite, encourage, helper, advocate, counselor, advisor. So anytime when you see one of these words, when it says comfort one another, it could mean encourage one another. It could mean plead with one another, invite with one another. In other words, this word is rich with meaning, this word encouragement. I want to give you a couple of truths this morning about encouragement. The first one I want to share with you is the necessity of encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement at some time in their life. Now, you might be in a place right now and you're on the top of the mountain and you say, you know, I don't need any encouragement. That's good. That means God wants you to encourage somebody that's down in the valley. But we all need it at some time in our life. 2 Corinthians 7:13 says, by all of this, we are encouraged. In addition to our encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Now, just look at that word, we. I know some of you done flipped the page because I heard you. But go back there and circle we. Who is the we? When he says, we were encouraged, who was it that got encouraged? Well, number one, it's the Apostle Paul who penned 2 Corinthians. If you'll go look, Timothy also was with him. Luke was with him. Titus was with him. And Silas was with him. Now, just think about Paul and Luke. They wrote 15 of the 27 books in the New Testament. You have the Apostle Luke, you have the Apostle Paul, and yet it says, we were encouraged. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good that Paul needs to be encouraged, that Luke needs to be encouraged, that Titus needs to be encouraged. You see, if they need to be encouraged, then it's okay if I need to be encouraged. There's a guy in the Old Testament, a mighty man of God. He went up on Mount Carmel and he prayed a prayer of just 57 words and God rained fire down on Mount Carmel. That was Elijah. Well, Jezebel got mad, said, the more your head's going to be on a platter. And within 24 hours, Elijah had run for his life. He's sitting under a broom tree and he said, God, I am so discouraged. Just kill me, God. I'd say that's pretty discouraged. So he went from the mountaintop to God kill me in 24 hours. Everyone needs encouragement. And then next, I want you to see at certain times, you need an extra touch. You need an extra boost. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Notice here, he says, I urge you to encourage the timid. Remember a while ago in the front of our list, those 10 things? Guess what? The word urge and the word encourage are the same word in the Greek New Testament. And so what he is doing, he's begging, he is pleading with them to encourage the timid. Who are the timid? Is that the shy, bashful people? No. That word there, timid, is an interesting word. It is a compound of oligos and suke. It literally means small soul. The English Standard Version translates it faint-hearted. You ever been faint-hearted? You ever been pressed down? Have you ever been discouraged? He says, well, you need to encourage one another. You see, a good word, a good synonym for this is a coach. You see, a coach is somebody who comes alongside of you and calls out to you. Probably the greatest basketball coach of all time is John Wooden. He won 7 national collegiate championships in a row. He won 11 out of 13. Fantastic coach. When you get a new team, here's what he'd tell them. He says, now guys, when you shoot and score a basket, the first thing I want you to do is turn around and point to the person who passed you the ball. And one of the players says, well, coach, what if he's not looking at me? He said, I guarantee you he'll be looking at you. Now, why would he be looking at you? He wanted you to point him out. Why did he want to be pointed out? He wanted to encourage the team to play as a team. It's not a showboat. It's not a one-man show. It's a team. He said, point out the person who passed it to you. John Wooden understood that everybody needs to be pointed out with a word of encouragement every once in a while. And here's something that should excite you. The second truth is the Holy Spirit is the great encourager. In John 14:16, I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. If you go back to the front of your page, you'll see that one of the words that encourage is translated is the word advocate. And here advocate means somebody that comes alongside of you and pleads your case. Here advocate is referring to a lawyer. I don't know if you've ever needed a lawyer. You might not even think very highly of lawyers. But you get yourself in a need where you need somebody who knows the law that can plead your case, you'll want a good one. And the Bible says that when we commit our heart and life to Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to send another advocate, another encourager. He's going to be with you forever. And then 10 verses later, notice here what he says. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is the great encourager. He is our advocate. He pleads our case. How many of you are familiar with a guy by the name of Rudy Giuliani? In 2001, Time Magazine selected him as the Man of the Year. For many people, Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City during 9/11 when the towers collapsed, and he became the face of America during this time. But what do you know about Rudy before he was mayor? Did you know that Rudy Giuliani is one of the most successful lawyers in America? You see, during the Reagan administration, he was the United States Associate Attorney General. And during his tenure, he is famous for prosecuting the New York Mafia. I don't know about you, but that takes a lot of guts, doesn't it? Anyhow, the 5 families of the New York Mafia, he successfully prosecuted them, and they were sentenced to 100 years in prison. As a matter of fact, the family of 5 got together and discussed hiring an assassin to kill Rudy Giuliani. They didn't like him. That's how good he was at being a lawyer. Now, here's the point I want to bring about Rudy to you. In 2018, President Donald Trump hired Rudy Giuliani as his personal attorney. Now think about that. Whether you like Trump or dislike him, hate him, whatever it is, whatever your thoughts about him is, he is still the most powerful man in all the world. He still has the code. He still has his thumb on the red button, okay? But Donald Trump needs a lawyer to plead his case. Friend, you and I have the Holy Spirit of God living in us that goes to God the Father and pleads our case. Oh, what an encouragement to know that the God of this universe is pleading my case, pleading your case. I'll take the Holy Spirit over Rudy any day. The third truth is you and I are commanded to seek the spiritual gift of encouragement. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. If you're a Christian, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, God gave you a spiritual gift that you could use in His kingdom to help the kingdom of God grow. But notice here it says earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So I have the gift that God gave me, but God says, seek after, desire, want other spiritual gifts. Well, what gift would you want? How about the gift of healing? Come over here, Danny. I'm going to give you the gift. Not really. So what spiritual gift would you want? I can't think of a better spiritual gift to desire than the spiritual gift of encouragement. Notice here what it says in Romans 12, 6 and 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, if it is encouraging, let him encourage. So one of the 21 spiritual gifts that are listed in your Bible, one of those is encouragement. If everybody gets discouraged, if everybody needs to be encouraged, don't you think that a great spiritual gift to desire would be the gift of encouragement? If you have the gift of encouragement, you will always have plenty of friends because everybody wants to be around somebody that builds them up and lifts them up and encourages them. Leadership guru John Maxwell in many of his conferences, and he has the best-selling book, The 21 Laws of Leadership, and I've been where he's taught these 21 laws, but law number one is called the law of the lid. Now, I don't know why people do this, but researchers got some fleas. I've never wanted to be around fleas. But they got some fleas, and they put them in some glass jars. And they put lids on the jars so the fleas couldn't get out. Well, these fleas could jump really high. And so they're inside this jar, and guess what they're doing? They're jumping, and every time they jump, they hit their head on the lid. And so here's this flea, and it's jumping, pow, pow, pow. Well, even with this little flea brain, it says, ooh, that hurts, ooh, that hurts. And so after a while, you know what the fleas start doing? They start doing this. They don't jump as high. Ooh, that feels much better. Oh, that feels much better. And so they start jumping only a little bit. Well, then an amazing thing happened is the researchers took the lid off of the jar, and guess what the fleas did? They still just jumped a little bit. And John Maxwell says, what you and I need to do in life is to be lid lifters. We need to go around and lift the lid so people can become all that God created them to be. Be a lid lifter. Be an encourager. And then number four, a fourth truth is every Christian is commanded to encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. So this is a command of God. It's not an option. You say, well, you know, I'm just not really good at that. Well, God doesn't say, do this if you're good at it. God says, do it. Encourage one another. In the movie, Stand and Deliver, there's a school teacher that's in a very rough neighborhood. You've been in some of those neighborhoods, Maria? Mm-hmm. Well, this teacher has two students named Johnny. One is Johnny, a student. One is Johnny the troublemaker. The first PTA meeting they have, a mother comes up to the teacher and says, "Hi, I'm Johnny's mother." And the teacher says, Oh, I want you to know I am so glad that Johnny is in my class. He is an absolute delight to teach." And the teacher says, "Really?" Well, mom goes home and tells her son, said, "I went to the PTA. You know what the teacher said about you tonight?" He said, "No telling. What did she say, Mom?" Said, "She said she was so glad you are in her class. She is delighted to teach you, and you are a great student." He said, "Really?" The next day, he goes to class, and he says, "Teacher, my mom told me what you said about her last night, about me last night." He said, "Teacher, I've never had a teacher that wanted me in their class. I never had a teacher that liked me. And I'm going to do better from now on." In the movie, and the storyline goes that Johnny the troublemaker became Johnny the model student, all because of an encouraging word from a teacher. You and I can be that person in another person's life where we come alongside of them and call out to them to build them up, to encourage them. Remember what Oprah said about her personal trainer? "My life has never been the same since I met him." Wouldn't it be wonderful if people could say that about us? "My life has never been the same since I was around you, an encourager." And then number five, and it's just a personal thing I want to throw into the mix, and that is encouragement is the heart of preaching. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." You understand what the Word of God says? Real biblical preaching should do three things. It should strengthen people, comfort people, and encourage them. Listen, I've been around lots of preaching in my life, and a whole lot of preaching is just loud nagging. Yeah. I reminded this one little boy went up to his preacher and he said, "Preacher, when I grow up, I'm going to make lots of money. And when I get lots of money, I'm going to give you bunches of it." He said, "Well, son, that's awful nice of you. What would make you say that?" He says, "Well, my dad said you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." Well, I don't know if that encouraged the preacher or not, but but good preaching, biblical preaching, should be an encouragement. Well, what are some areas of encouragement that we need to encourage in? Number one, encourage others to worship God. In Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Do you see the day of the Lord approaching? Does it look like Jesus might be coming anytime to you? Well, the Bible says, well, as you see the day of approaching, encourage one another to meet in the house of God for worship. Folks, if there's ever a time that we need people in the house of God, worshiping God, it is now. I don't know about you, but my heart was sickened this past week to learn that the state of New York passed legislation that anyone, you don't even have to be a doctor, anyone can abort a baby up till the day of birth. Folks, if that's not a sign that life has become cheap and that our Lord may come back anytime, I don't know. What is? And so what should be our response? The Bible says, encourage one another to meet in the house of God, to worship God as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I look forward to being in the house of God with God's people. The other week on a Wednesday night, we were there and we were having our prayer time in our prayer room. And Jesse Airwood, Jesse is sitting back here in the back in a wheelchair. Jesse shared a testimony there and our group just warmed my heart. I wish you could have been in that room to hear what he had to say. But here's what he had to say. He said, "You know, I came to this church a long time ago when I was a teenager. And he says, and then it had been years had gone by, and I had a terrible accident. And he said, one day I came back to the church. And he said, for the last 6 months, he said, I've been loved. I've been accepted. People have been so nice. People have been so friendly. He said, I hadn't heard a single unkind word. What a testimony about being in the house of God with the people of God and how a man in a wheelchair is encouraged by being in worship. Number two, encourage others to live for God. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. For you know that how we dealt with each other, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Aren't you glad that God's still calling people into His kingdom? I believe right now, in this service, God's calling people. God's calling people. God is urging people. God is encouraging people to follow Him, to fall in love with His Son, and to be about the kingdom's business. But let me tell you, you have an enemy. His name is Satan. His name is Lucifer. His name is the devil. And he's going to do everything he can to discourage you from following God's call. It's only a fable, but I can imagine it in my head. The devil fell on hard times and he's having a yard sale. And out there on the tables, he had all the tools of the trade that he had used to defeat people in their life. And all the tools had price tags on them. There was a tool out there for lust, pride, jealousy. All of these tools had price tags, but there was one tool that didn't have a price tag on it. And so the guy looking at the table says, well, why there's not a price tag? How much you want for this tool here? He said, no, that's not for sale. That's not for sale. He said, what do you mean it's not for sale? He said, that tool works every single time. When nothing else will work, that tool will work. It's not for sale. You know what that tool was? Discouragement. Discouragement. The devil knows that discouragement works on people. And so guess what? God wants us to encourage people to live for Him. Number three, encourage others to live a holy life. Titus 2:6, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Let's do a poll. How many of you think we live in an out-of-control world? Alright, so what is the need in an out-of-control world? Self-control. Living a holy life. And by the way, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the last one is self-control. We need to encourage people to live a holy life. But did you notice that we live in a culture that if you try to live a holy life, people will mock you, make fun of you? Oh yeah, you're so self-righteous. Oh, you're just old holy Joe. I'd rather be a holy Joe than an unholy Joe. The Bible says encourage one another to live godly lives. We can live godly lives. The Bible says be holy as God is holy. It is possible for us to live holy lives or God wouldn't tell us to do it. How many of you have seen the movie Facing the Giants? Great, great Christian film. Been shared hundreds of thousands of times on social media. But there's a scene in there called the death crawl. You remember the death crawl? The coach, he's got a bunch of players that are discouraged. You know, we're not going to win. And so he calls out Brock, who's the team captain. He said, you know what? If you've already given up before the game ever starts, we don't stand a chance. He said, now Brock, come out here. I want you to do your best. Give me your best. He said, I want you to do the death crawl. How far do you think you can go? He said, well, I think I can go 20 yards, 30 yards. He said, I believe you can go 60. And Brock said, well, I might could go 50 if nobody's on my back. He said, I believe you can do much better than you think. So he puts a blindfold on him and he gets Jeremy, another player, weighs 160 pounds, gets on his back, grabs a hold of his shoulder pad, said, all right, now give me your best. And so he starts walking down the field. He starts on the goal line. And remember, he thinks he can go 20 or 30 yards. And so he's going and the coach is beside of him. What do we say an encourager was? You come alongside somebody? Or what do? You call out to him. What's the coach doing? Come on, give me your best. Don't you give up. One more step. And he keeps going and he keeps going. He said, I can't go on. Yes, you can. Give me your best. He said, coach, the other players, they start cheering and he keeps going. And he said, just 20 more. And he keeps going, just 10 more. And finally he collapses. He says, coach, I can't go any farther. Did I make it to the 50? He pulls off his blindfold and he says, Brock, you've made it to the end zone. You didn't go 20 or 30 or 50. You went 100 yards. You did so much more than you thought you could do. And you see, that's what an encourager does. He comes alongside other people and sees their best, calls them out. You can do it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep going for God. You and I need to encourage one another. And then number four, encourage others to remain true. In Acts chapter 14, verse 21, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. So what are we going to do? We're going to encourage people not to quit, not to give up. And why is that? We're going to have many hardships. A lot of people think, I'm going to give my life to God. It's going to solve all of my problems and I'm going to live happily ever after. Listen, you will live happily forever in the presence of God, but there are hardships, there are heartaches, there are troubles, and there are difficult times down here. And when those times come, we need somebody to come alongside of us and to call out to us and say, don't give up, don't quit, keep going. I love this quote that I read this past week. You cannot make a brand new start. How many would like to make a brand new start? You can't make a brand new start, but you can make a brand new ending. I like that. You can't make a brand new start, but you can make a brand new ending. How is that? Through encouragement. Well, how can you and I receive encouragement? Let me give you three ways. Number one, all encouragement comes from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Remember, the word comfort and the word encourage, same word. So I've got it here in bold. Circle it as we read. Every time the word comfort and think encourage. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort or encouragement, who comforts or encourages us in all our troubles so that we can comfort or encourage those in any trouble with the comfort and encouragement we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If you're ever comforted, if you're ever encouraged, if you're ever built up, guess where it came from? It came from God. He is the God of encouragement. He is the God who encourages us so that we might encourage other people. All of it comes from God. Bill White was having a difficult time. He got up early that morning, went down to his study. He's having his quiet time with God. He confessed his sins. And he said, God, I need to hear from you today. God, I need you to touch me. I need to know, God, that your hand is upon me and that, God, you're going to bless me. You ever had a day like that? When you said, God, I need to hear from heaven. God, I need a touch from you. And he's there having his quiet time. He has a little boy, 22 months old, not quite 2 years old. And he slips in there because he hears his dad praying. And his dad's on one knee, and he comes over and places his hand on his dad's knee, and he says, Hi, special one. Hi, special one. Hi, special one. Marshall won. Bill said he said it six times. He said God had him to say it six times to make sure I got it. He said my son had never said that before. He never said it after that. He said it was a direct encouragement from God. Hi, special one. God is saying to you today, I see you. I hear you. You are special to me. The God of encouragement is blessing and touching and moving in this place today. Secondly, we receive encouragement from Scripture, from God's Word. Romans 15:4, so everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Folks, I want to encourage you every day to spend time in this book. Every morning I get up, this is what I do. I turn this book right here. I tell my Sunday school class, I love to go over there in the book of Psalms and I read all about God's character and God's glory. And as I turn over and I look in God's Word, you know what I find out? I find out that He is my shield. He is my buckler. He is my power. He is my refuge. He is my healer. He is my helper. He is my Savior. He is my everything. We need to hear from God. God speaks to us through His Word. When I was a kid, I pulled for the Green Bay Packers because they had a guy by the name of Bart Starr. And as a kid, Bart Starr was my hero. He's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Well, Bart had a young son named Bart Jr. Bart Jr. had a homework assignment. He worked really hard on it and got a C. He came home. He wasn't real happy about that. His dad looked at it and he took out a pen and he wrote on there, "Good job, son. I'm proud of you." The following week, the Green Bay Packers were in St. Louis playing the Cardinals. Bart didn't play a very good game. He got knocked down, beat up, and sacked many times. He threw three interceptions, and they lost the ball game. It was a long flight back to Wisconsin. When he got home, his son was already in the bed asleep. But he left a note on the kitchen counter. And here's what it said. "Dad, I watched you play on TV today. I thought you did a good job. I believe in you, Dad." Friend, when I take up God's Word, you know what I see in God's Word? I read in God's Word where God says, "I see you, Dennis. I see you. I think you're doing a good job. I believe in you, Dennis." We get the encouragement from the Word of God. Let me encourage you to be in God's Word. And then lastly, it is produced by love. Let me tell you how to encourage people. Love them. In the little letter of Philemon, the Apostle Paul in verse 7 says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Well, we all need times of refreshing. We all need times of renewal. We all need times of encouragement. But notice there, he says, "Your love has given us encouragement. Your love has produced in us joy and refreshing." Jim Johnson is a pastor. He has an asphalt driveway, and it had some cracks in it. And he went out there with his young son, Justin, and they had a hammer, and they had a chisel, and they're out there chiseling out the asphalt. And as the day goes by, they get tired. And you know, let me tell you what happens when you get tired. You get careless. And so his son is pounding on the chisel and he misses and mashes his thumb. He jumps up and runs to the house screaming. His dad realized there's nobody at the house. So he gets up and runs after him. Oh man, he's in pain. He's just screaming his head off, crying. He goes in there, gets a big bowl, fills it up with ice, puts some water in it, comes in there and says, son, put your hand in here and this will help it to feel better. Well, he said, Dad, I don't want to put my hand in there. That hurts. And he said, well, this here will help it get better. He said, Dad, if I put my hand in there, will you put your hand in there with me? He said, yes, son, I'll put my hand in there. So his dad put his hand down there in that ice cold water. He said, we leave it in there for about 10 minutes till it starts turning blue. And the feeling starts going away, so we'd take it out, we'd warm it up, and so we'd stick it back down there. And he said, after a while, his hands would get the feeling a little better, and he looked up at her and he said, Dad, I'm so glad you're here with me. He said, Dad, you don't take the pain away, but being here makes it a lot more bearable. Folks, there are people out there that are hurting. You can't take their pain away, but if you will love on them, it'll make it more bearable. You can encourage people by simply loving on them. As we've come here today, I hope you see that God wants to encourage you, that God wants you to be an encourager. But the best way to do that is to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and have the Holy Spirit, the eternal encourager, to come into your heart. And if you've never done that, in a moment I'm going to invite you just to get out of your seat. Come down here, take me by the hand. Say, Pastor, I'd like to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Maybe that you've already done that, but you need to be a part of a church family. You need to be in a place where you can be encouraged. You need to be in a place where you can encourage others. And so we invite you to come join hands with us, unite with this fellowship, and be a part of an encouraging group of people that are advancing the work of God. Maybe it be that you're here today and you're one of those folks and you've just been beat down and you're discouraged. We invite you to come to this altar. Cast all of your care upon Him. I'll be here. Others will be here. We'll be glad to pray with you, to encourage you, to love on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I am so grateful that we serve a God that knows every person in this room by name. You know, God, what they're going through. You knew they were going to be here before the songs were chosen, before the text was chosen. God, you know what they need. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as the invitation is given, the people will hear your voice and they will respond to your comfort, to your urging, to your pleading, to your begging, to your encouragement, and be comforted and encouraged. And help all of us, God, to encourage one another. Lead us now, God, as we make our commitments. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Would you please stand as we sing? We invite you to come.